Hey, y'all, it's Bo Haig. Thank you so much for listening to this message today. If you have questions, please contact us at 580-216-6427. And we hope that God uses this message to change your life.
Anyone ever seen the movie? Some of you guys were alive then. My Friend Flicka. Anybody? Yes, old school. Was it 1948 that came out? I think it was, 1948. Anyways, I haven't seen that one, but I have seen the modern day version of Flicka. How many of you guys have seen the modern day version of Flicka with Tim McGraw? Tim McGraw, anybody seen that one? Yeah, it's a great movie. Tim McGraw stars as a struggling horse rancher in the mountains of some state. I can't remember the state, Montana or somewhere. But he's a struggling horse rancher who has a free-spirited daughter named Katie. Right? And she goes off to boarding school. They make a lot of sacrifices so that she can go to boarding school. But she comes home for the summer after boarding school is over, and she has some terrible grades. Nothing's going right. And to make it all worse, the first night that she gets back from boarding school, she decides she's going to go for a horseback ride. Now, let me say this. She is her father's daughter. I mean, she is the spitting image of him. I mean, he loves the ranch. He loves everything about it. She does too. So the first night that she gets back from boarding school, she decides she's going to take a midnight ride out in the mountains, right? So she gets on her horse. She rides bareback, by the way. She gets on her horse, Yankee, who is just a regular sorrel horse, and she takes off and she goes on a midnight ride. Well, during the midnight ride, she encounters some danger. And if you've seen the movie, you realize that the danger, the horse actually sensed the danger and spooked and actually threw her on the ground and ran off. Does anybody remember what the danger was? It was a mountain lion, right? It was a mountain lion. And again, she's on her horse. The horse senses the danger and decides to bolt. The horse takes off and leaves her to defend herself against this mountain lion. Well, what happens next? Everybody kind of knows Flicka shows up, right? Flicka is this dark black or dark brown Mustang, and Flicka shows up, and Flicka fights off the mountain lion, and Katie gets away. Katie comes home that, you know, the next morning, and she tells everybody that there's a mountain lion and a wild Mustang. And then the story goes on, and as the story goes on, they fight and they struggle to keep the ranch going. And later on in the story, Flicka fights the mountain lion and conquers the mountain lion again, but is severely injured, and they bring her back to health, and she is good to go. Great story, right? Give it a hand for the story. Yes. Now you say, well, what's the deal? What can we get out of that? Well, here's the thing. There were two responses by two different horses, right? Yankee, the sorrel horse, what did Yankee do? Yankee saw the danger, saw the attack, and did what? Ran away. But Flicka comes along, and Flicka does what? Flicka fights. Fights. Even though the danger was there, Flicka fights. Here's the thing. Horses have two natural instincts. You know what those natural instincts are? Fight or flight. Fight or flight. Well, here's the truth, and here's what I want you to get out of this message today. I believe that all of us are facing spiritual attacks, spiritual battles, spiritual threats by the enemy, and we have two choices. You know what those choices are? Fight or flight. Fight or flight. Today, I want to give you an intro into a new series I'm calling Fight or Flight. And here's the subtitle of this, and I want to focus in on this. The how to win the battles in our minds. How to win the battles in our minds. In this series, I want us to focus on the mental attacks that we receive every day. And here's the thing. When we receive those attacks mentally, the question is, are we going to fight? Are we going to run? Recently, I've been shown and I've dealt with a lot of people that are dealing with mental attacks. And some are winning the battle, but some are losing it. And if I was to be honest, and this is just me being honest, I believe that the greatest attack that the devil has on me and many other people is the mental attack. I mean, you can look around and see it. You can talk to people and hear them talking about it. You can see it everywhere. And mental attacks, listen, they're different for everybody. But let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about. You ready? No, here's the first one, insecurity. I mean, and again, we want to think that women are the only ones who maybe struggle with insecurity and, you know, how they look and all that. Men struggle from insecurity as well. But here's the truth. The devil, he plants these lies into our lives. You're not good enough. You're not pretty enough, or you're not handy enough. You're not a good enough cowboy to do that. You're not a good enough, you know, anything to do that. And insecurity happens right here. And the devil loves to attack us there. What about these? What about guilt? Guilt. Guilt and shame. The devil plants this lie into our minds and he says, you're all screwed up. I mean, look at you. What a failure that you are. And we deal with guilt and shame. What about hopelessness? I mean, there's many people that walk around and they don't have any hope. I mean, I see it all the time. I mean, people, they go through situations, they face struggles, they face trials, and they go, I just don't have any hope. And again, it's a mental battle. What about fear? Maybe you're a parent. I can relate to this because I'm obviously a parent of three kids. I can relate to the fear. Used to, I mean, if you were like me and you were a man, you didn't care what happened to you. Anybody? Men? Come on. I mean, you jump your four-wheeler as fast as you can over that ditch and never even worry about it. Can I get a witness? Am I the only idiot in the house? Come on. I mean, seriously, I mean, we didn't really have any fear growing up. I mean, we didn't have a fear. I remember we had an above-ground pool, 4 foot tall, only about that tall, and we decided that the deck wasn't tall enough to jump off of, so we decided we were going to jump off the double-wide trailer right up next to the four-foot pool, and so we would jump off a trailer house off the roof. Kids, do not do this. Do not. But we didn't have any fear, right? I mean, again, but you get kids, and guess what? The fear shows up. I don't know about you, but maybe it's just me. Fear that you're going to lose someone that you love. Fear that you're going to lose your job. Fear that you're going to, you know, struggle with money. I mean, all these fears are mental attacks that the devil pulls on us. What about bitterness? Bitterness is a killer of all of us. I mean, again, if you allow something or someone that has hurt you to just infiltrate your mind and your heart, it will kill you. Resentment and bitterness will kill you. And again, it's a battle in our mind. What about depression? I mean, again, all of us could raise our hands and say, I know somebody who struggles with depression. What about anger? Again, the mental battle of anger. When something bad happens or somebody does something wrong to you, you just want to lash out, and it's a mental battle that you face. I know people that have thought of suicide, had suicidal thoughts, suicidal tendencies. And again, they just want to kill themselves, and the devil feeds them that lie. Just kill yourself. Everything will be okay if you'll just kill yourself. Again, the mental attack of that. There's lust that men, more than probably women, deal with. We deal with the idea and the lust of our thoughts and the images in our minds. And then it turns into, again, maybe an addiction to porn, right? I mean, there's a lot of people that struggle with an addiction to porn. And it's a mental attack. It's a mental attack, and it's a lie that the devil throws into our minds. Anguish, this one gets me. The anguish of unresolved conflict. I don't know about you, but when someone has an issue with me and I can't resolve it, it eats me alive. I don't want to sleep. I don't want to go to bed. I don't want to wait another minute. Let's handle this conflict right now. You know why? Because it eats me up mentally. I don't know if you deal with that one, but that's one that I deal with. And then jealousy. I mean, again, you may be married or dating someone that has a struggle with jealousy. Again, it's a mental attack that the devil places in our minds. And again, these are just a few examples of the mental attacks that we face. And here's the truth. We can either fight them or we can run from them, right? We can either fight them or we can run from them. How many of you guys would say I struggle with at least one of those examples that you gave? Anybody? Yeah. All across the barn. You struggle with at least one of these mental battles. Well, here are some questions that I believe that a lot of unbelievers and a lot of believers or Christians are asking. Here's the questions. How do I find victory over the battle of my mind? How do I find victory over it? How can I be set free from the mental strongholds that the devil has on my thoughts? I mean, I want to know that. How? How can I be set free from that? And here's the third question. What weapons are available for me to fight with? I mean, again, am I fighting with the right weapons or am I fighting with the wrong weapons? What weapons are available for me to fight with? Well, I want to start out by showing you something that I find very interesting, and it's in Scripture. John chapter 19, if you'll show that on the screen. John chapter 19, verses 17 and 18. Listen to this Scripture as I read it. It says, carrying his own cross, and he's talking about Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in our Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Now, again, you say, well, what's that scripture got to do with anything? Well, here's what I want to show you. The place that Jesus was crucified, it was on top of a side of a mountain that looked like a skull. Now, I want you to show that picture. Yeah, I don't have my little red pointer deal, but over to the right, you can see what looks like two eye sockets. Can you see that? Two eye sockets and a nose that's kind of cut out there. This is the present day of Golgotha. This is the present day. And on top of that, there's actually a cemetery now. But on top of that was where Jesus was crucified. I've actually stood right there. I spent 10 weeks in Israel, and I got to go every place that is in the Bible, and not every place, but a lot of the places in the Bible, and I've actually stood right outside that fence, and I've seen the actual skull that is right there. And you say, well, what's the point, Bo? Well, here's what I want you to get. The picture of this skull and Jesus being crucified on it, I find it interesting. You know why? Because it could have been a shape of anything else. Think about it. It could have been a foot. It could have been a thumb, it could have been a hand, it could have been anything else. But Jesus, and again, I believe that God doesn't do anything by accident, but God set it in motion that Jesus would be crucified on top of a skull. And you say, why? Well, here's why I think why. I believe that not only does Jesus Christ give us the victory of eternal life in heaven someday, but I believe that he wants to give us the victories over our mind today. And if you were to be standing there when Jesus was crucified, you would see his blood rolling over the top of a skull. And you can say, well, that doesn't mean anything. I believe it does, because I believe that his blood was shed so that we could find victories over the mental battles that we face. I believe that. And so again, you say, well, okay, Bo, what is this going to be about? Well, here's what I want to do today. I want to give you an introduction on this series. And I want to expose a few things that I believe that are true about mental battles, okay? Number one is this. Mental battles are real. I mean, again, I shouldn't have to say this one, but if you're like me, you've looked at certain people that struggle with mental battles and you just looked at them and you said, come on now, suck it up. I mean, you struggle with, that's all in your head. You just need to buck up and stop thinking that way. Anybody ever struggle with that? Okay, I got four honest people in the church. I don't know about you, but sometimes I look at certain people and I think, you just need to suck it up. I mean, it's all in your head. Just get it. Or here's the other one, and I hate this one more than anything. The religious people, and again, I'm talking about in a negative sense, the religious people just say, if you just have enough faith, then you can overcome that. It's no big deal. Just, you don't have enough faith. You know what that says to me? It says that you don't care about me. And again, I struggle with those. The fact is this, the attacks, the depression, the addictions, all those things, they're not that easy to overcome, right? I mean, if you've ever struggled with one, an addiction or, you know, attack on your mind, or again, some mental struggles, you realize that they're not that easy to overcome. And it's offensive when someone is not sensitive or patient when you're struggling mentally. I mean, just think about it. Again, and sometimes I think us church people can be the least sensitive of all, because we just say, just give it to the Lord. Just pray about it and it'll all get better. Okay, that's a part of it. But here's the truth. And can I just throw this in? I'll give a shout out to all the doctors in the house and all the counselors in the house. While I believe that every battle is a spiritual battle, and this battle can be won in a spiritual sense, and you got to have that part of it to actually win the battle, I believe that medication, and I believe that counseling, and I believe that godly relationships can help as well. In certain instances, and I'm not saying medicate your children because they're hyper. My mom beat it out of me. I mean, she pulled my pants down and whipped my butt. That's how I stopped being hyper and I actually listened. But again, I'm just saying this. If you think that, okay, we're just going to pray about this. And again, God can do anything. And God does it all the time. But there are some people out there that need medication. It's okay. As long as you have a doctor that you can trust that's not over-medicating you. And a lot of people need counseling. And again, you say, well, you know, I'm too good for counseling. I don't need counseling. You're full of it. At some point in my life and everybody's life, you ought to go to a counselor and not look at them as like there's something serious weirdo shrink. You know what I'm saying? Counseling can help. You're struggling in your marriage, you're struggling with mental attacks, go to a counselor, but go to a godly one that's going to lead you in the direction of God. So the truth is, we cannot deny that the devil is real. I mean, again, a lot of people want to discount the devil and say he's not alive, he's not real. No, listen, the devil is real and he loves to attack us. And one of the greatest ways that he does it is through our minds. John 10:10 says this, the thief, and he's talking about the devil here, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And then in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be on the alert and sober and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Just like in the movie Flicka, the mountain lion was looking for someone to devour. And the devil does the same thing. He looks around and he says, who can I sell this lie to? Who can I fill their minds with a lie? And the fact is, even if you know Christ, you can be whipped mentally. It's the truth. Again, I think all of us could say that. So number one is this. The truth is, mental battles are real. Number two is this. The battle for our mind is nothing new. The battles that we face mentally, they're nothing new. Again, a lot of people think that, oh, I'm just struggling with this. I'm on my own. I'm alone. No, listen. These mental attacks have been around since the beginning of time. You're not alone. And there is a way to overcome them. But listen to this. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, listen to what happens here. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any tree? You must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Of course, we may eat of the fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat or even touch it, or if you do, you will die. Verse 4, you won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. Do you see what happened there? I mean, again, here's God saying, hey, I want you to eat from every tree but that one. And you know what the devil does? He comes in and he says, oh, surely God didn't say that. And he plants a lie into their minds. What happens? Adam and Eve sinned. They go and they eat of the fruit that they weren't supposed to eat from, and sin enters into the world. Again, Satan planted the lie into their minds and he defeated them mentally. He defeated them mentally. I mean, he didn't hold up, you know, a gun to their head and say, you know, tell me the truth. Or he didn't hold up. I mean, he didn't use any kind of physical force. He used their mind. And I believe that the same thing happens today. Again, think about it. The devil takes the truth and blurs it with a lie. The devil, he takes how God feels about you and he replaces it with a lie. The devil, he takes what God intended for you to think about this or think about that, and he replaces it with a lie. And he does this to all of us. He does it to all of us. And so again, you're not alone. You're struggling your thoughts. You're not alone in that. Again, 1 Peter 5, at the end of it, verse 9, it says, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. You know what that's saying? You're not alone. This isn't the first rodeo that you're facing. God has faced this from the beginning of time, and we need to realize that. So number one, mental battles are real. We can't discredit that. And number two, mental battles are nothing new. They're nothing new. But here's number three, and this is where I'm going to end today. Number three is this. We can't run. We must fight. Again, you may be here today and you may be thinking, well, I'm struggling with this. I mean, this is so true. I deal with this all day, every day. I deal with the mental attacks. Listen, you can't run. You have to fight. James 4, 7, look at it. It says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Do you see what it's saying there? I mean, you got to do this, this, and this, and he will flee from you. What's our natural tendency when we're facing an attack? We want to run. I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people, they run to certain things. I may run to, you know, a bag of M&Ms. Some of you guys know my struggle with peanut M&Ms. Some of you guys run to food, maybe. You get attacked, you run straight to the food. Some of you guys run to drinking. You get attacked mentally, oh, I got to go get drunk. That's the only thing that dulls my mind enough to get it out of my mind. Some of you guys go to drugs. You go, oh, okay, I can't handle this attack. I'm just going to go to drugs. Some of you guys spend more money. Some of you guys, oh, if I can just buy this or buy that or do this or do that, I'll just be satisfied. But here's the truth. What happens when the drunkenness wears off? What happens when the high comes down? What happens when you get all that stuff and you're not happy? Here's another one that we all do. And again, I'm not saying this is totally wrong because it's okay to be busy, but we go be busy, right? If I just get busy, if I just go do more, if I just, you know, put more on my plate, if I just take on more at work, if I just go to work from sun up to sundown, if I can just stay busy, then I can overcome this mental attack. But it's so not true. It's not true. What happens when you lay your head down at night? You struggle. What happens when it's dark in the morning and you wake up at 2 a.m? You struggle. So again, all those things we want to run to, but here's what God says. He says, you must fight. You must fight. Verse 7, resist the devil and he will flee. Instead of us fleeing from the attacks that the devil has on us, he will flee from us. And so again, we must fight. We are called to fight, not to flee. And we possess the power through Jesus Christ to overcome the devil's attacks on our minds. And so again, you may be thinking, you know, you're talking straight to me, Bo. The devil kicks my butt with the thoughts, and I'm dealing with them even right now. Even today, I woke up and I was struggling, and I don't see how to get out of the pit. Can I just share with you today? There is hope. There is hope. You can win, but you must fight. The war is on. The war is on, and I don't know about you, but when I run from the attacks, I don't win. You know why? Because I lose by forfeit. Because I haven't shown up to fight. But when I show up to fight, and I show up again through God's strength and in his power, I can beat the devil every time. Every time. Yes. And so here's the thing. Again, I want to introduce those truths to you today. Next week, we're going to learn how to fight. And you got to come back. Again, you say, Bo, I'm struggling today. I need help today. You can find help today. You don't have to wait a week. We would love to visit with you. You sign that orange card. You put it in one of these yellow buckets, and we will contact you tomorrow, and we will help you. But here's the truth. We are going to talk about how to resist the devil and how to win the battles of our minds. I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. How many of you guys would say, you know what, Bo, and nobody's looking around, I just want to know for myself. You would say, Bo, I'm dealing with a mental attack today. How many of you guys would raise your hand and say that? Thank you. All across the room. How many of you guys would be honest enough to say, you know what, Bo, I've been fighting this battle for a long time, and I've really never truly found victory over it. Anybody? You've been fighting it for a long time. Yeah. All over the barn. Listen, here's the truth that I want you to know. While the struggle may never go away and you will face it day in and day out, you can have victory over it every day. The struggle, the battle, the attacks are not going to stop. So don't go, hey, if I was, you know, truly happy, and if God was truly who he says he would, or says he was, or says he is, then I wouldn't be attacked. No, the attacks are going to come. The question is, are you going to fight and win? And so here's the thing. Here's what I've learned about the attacks in my mind and in my life. When I run from them, I don't win. But when I embrace them, I want you to hear this. When I embrace them, then the God of the universe has an opportunity to show me how to find victory over them. And so again, maybe you're struggling with a mental attack today and you've been just running. Can I just tell you, turn around and embrace it. Embrace it. And you say, why would I embrace something that hurts so much? Because here's the truth. If you'll embrace it and you'll say, okay, God, whatever you're trying to teach me, whatever you're allowing the devil to attack me at, I want to learn how to overcome it. I want to win. I want to beat his butt. Then you will find victory over it. And so listen, stop running. Stop running and start fighting. And again, our church is here to equip you how to do that. To equip you to fight this battle, not on your own strength, but the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what I want to do. I believe that Jesus not only came to give us eternal life, he came to give us abundant life. And he wants us to have that hope. And so here's my question. Do you know him? You cannot win this battle. You may be able to win it once every out of 50 times on your own and in your own strength, but you will fall again and you will crumble again. But here's the truth. If you will give your life to Jesus Christ, he will empower you like you've never been empowered before. He will give you supernatural strength to overcome the spiritual battles that you face. Because the truth is, it's a spiritual battle. And you've been trying to find it or fight it with fleshly weapons. And it doesn't work. You have to know Christ personally. And so maybe that's you today. Maybe that's the first step that you need to take today. Is you need to say, okay, Bo, I'm going to give my life to Christ. And you say, what does that look like? Here's what that looks like. You confess your sin to him, even in your chair right there. You can say a simple prayer. Lord, I confess my sin to you. I know I'm a sinner. I know that you died on the cross, on that skull. You died there so that I can be set free from the sin in my life. And so I ask you to forgive me of my sin and come into my life. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Here's the truth. If you pray that prayer and you mean it within your heart, not just in your mind, not just in your thought, but in your heart, you meant that prayer in your heart. Listen, Jesus Christ is living inside of you. Now you have the power to overcome the spiritual battles that you face. And so we praise God if you prayed that prayer just now. And here's the other thing. We want to know about it. You say, well, why would I want to tell anybody about it? Because here's the truth. You need our help. You need the church's help. You need people's help so that you can have strength to walk this walk and to talk the talk and to win the battles. Because here's the truth. Now that you've given your life to Christ, guess what? The devil hates you even more. And he's going to try to attack. And so you need to be ready. And so here's what we ask. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time, here's all we ask you to do. We're not going to ask you to come to the front. We're not going to embarrass you. All we ask you to do is fill out that orange card. Place it in one of these yellow buckets, and we will contact you about your decision. If you don't want to do that, all you got to do is text your name to the number on the screen as you leave today. Just text your name. That's all you got to do. You don't have to say anything else. Just text your name, and we will contact you about your decision. If you've given your life to Christ for the first time today, I praise God for that. It's the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And now you have the power to overcome the devil. Lord, I thank you for those that have given their life to you today. I thank you for those that gave their lives to you in the past. And Lord, today, I pray that we would walk out of here knowing that we have hope, knowing that we can't we don't have to face these battles alone. We can face them through your power and through your strength. And so, Lord, today we just praise you for the gift of your weapons and the gift of your hope, the gift of your power. And we pray as we walk through this life and the attacks come that we would not run, but that we would fight, because we have the power through you to overcome any attack that the devil puts on us. And so, Lord, we praise you for that. Bring us back next week so that we can hear about the weapons that we can wage this war against the devil with. Prepare us for that battle. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to this message. And we hope to see you every Sunday at the Woodward Livestock Auction at 10:30.